Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Here we are in our fourth and final hour of Sports Talk here on WWL, AMFM.com, and the Odyssey app. Charlie Long at Master Control taking your calls on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text lines at 504-260-1870. I'm Christian Garrick, minutes away from interviewing LSU baseball coach Jay Johnson after the Tigers sweep Vanderbilt over the weekend. Beat them 21-10 in Game 3 to finish off the sweep, and now ready for the SEC tournament. Starting Wednesday, they'll take the winner of 5-seed Auburn or 12-seed Kentucky. They get underway tomorrow night in Hoover. I think if LSU gets a win or two, especially if they beat Tennessee, they're back in the conversation to be a regional host site. And I would go as far as to tell you that I think LSU, if they somehow win the SEC baseball tournament, could put themselves in contention to be a super regional host site. As you heard me say earlier, Tennessee finished in the conference at 25-5, but no team in the SEC East finished above 500. So how good is Tennessee? They're very good. But you can make the case that they are beneficiaries of a softer side of the conference, the Eastern Division. I'm not taking anything away from Tennessee, but it's worth talking about. But LSU got hot at the right time. They were swept themselves the weekend prior by Ole Miss. And I just like how that team responded. They came out angry. They came out full of business and ready to roll. And they took care of Vanderbilt for the first time. They swept the Commodores in Vanderbilt. First time ever. It's a big accomplishment for Jay Johnson's squad to be a part of history. Just like the weekend before, Ole Miss had never swept LSU in Baton Rouge. Never. It happened. It's always fun to see the firsts in life, the first time something happens. All right, let's step away and come back. Jay Johnson, LSU baseball coach, will join us next here on WWL. LSU finishes up the regular season in the SEC 17-13. They're the fourth seed in the SEC baseball tournament coming up this week, starting tomorrow, but LSU doesn't play until Wednesday. We welcome in now LSU head baseball coach Jay Johnson. Coach, I know you're a football fan. What'd you do? Did you dial up Miles Brennan to throw a couple touchdown passes for you on Saturday or what?
Yeah, we had good third down offense for sure. It was definitely a good football score. We like it when we're on that side of it.
That's for sure. Coach, a lot of two-out runs for your team this year. And I think that's an indication that they've bought into what you're selling as an approach at the plate.
Yeah, it's a great stat. I mean, you know, pitching defense and timely hitting or two-out hitting usually are going to tell you who's going to win the game and taking advantage of opportunities on offense. And we've done a really good job of that. Sometimes you feel like you leave a lot of guys on base, but when you have a high on base percentage, you're going to leave more guys on base. But was really, really proud of the clutch hitting of our team this last weekend and allowed us to stack up a bunch of runs together.
Coach, maybe you can help me understand this a little bit. So I noticed that Vanderbilt defensive players and the pitcher were wearing a wristband, but it wasn't the traditional quarterback-style wristband where you can flip. It looked electronic. Am I seeing that wrong? What was that?
Yeah, no, it's an electronic pitch calling system where the pitcher, the catcher, and the infielders can know what pitch is coming. And usually speeds up the tempo of the game a little bit and Yeah, I think that's the design behind it.
Is that coming for your squad too?
You know, we'll evaluate that. Coach Kelly has a good system in terms of how he gets the pitches in. I think we work pretty quickly as is. I do like the fact that the infielders having the pitch right there, but if they know the signs, then they can also know what's coming.
Yeah, I got you. It's just amazing. I was looking at it, and I was like, gosh, is that electric? And it is. I'm glad you confirmed that for us. But how about Dylan Cruz being the co-SEC player of the year, leading the SEC in home runs with 21? And, I mean, he's been really, really good for you guys. And to think that you have him back again next year is crazy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's obviously a lot of reasons. It's great to be the baseball coach at LSU. But in all seriousness, I did ask Scott Woodward when he was talking to me about the job, just to make sure that Dylan wasn't a draft-eligible sophomore and that we would have him for 2 years. Great player, great person, great leader, you know, just an unbelievable hitter, and he's playing his best baseball right now. He's worked really hard and made some small adjustments here recently and seeing some of the fruits of that labor, and very well-deserving to be named co-SEC Player of the Year.
Yeah, I said earlier, Coach, on the show that it's like watching a big leaguer play college baseball right now. Is that too far off?
No, not at all. You know, I've been very blessed to coach some really, really good players. We have several on our team right now, Jacob Berry and Cade Doty and Trey Morgan and on and on and on. But, you know, I think he's kind of in a class by himself in terms of what he can do on a baseball field, both offensively and defensively. And you really don't see guys like him show up in college all that often. Probably the closest, you know, that I can think of recently is Spencer Torkelson, you know, when he was at Arizona State and then quick to the big leagues. But, you know, Dylan's a premium defender also. So pretty special to have him on our team, and his character and the type of person he is equals his baseball ability, and that's saying a heck of a lot.
Now, Jacob and Doty are draft-eligible sophomores. Is that right?
Yeah, they'll be making a lot of money here pretty soon, I think.
How's Hoover treating you guys?
Yeah, it's great, actually. I think it was really good for our team. We just drove down from Nashville yesterday after we got the guys some sleep, fed them, and then drove over here yesterday. And, you know, we've had a grind of a schedule. So I think to get over here and be able to rest a little bit is really positive for our team. We had a light workout today, but even just, you know, getting Sunday off and most of the day today, you could see a good bounce in their step, which was good to see because they've been working really hard.
Jay Johnson, LSU baseball coach here on Sports Talk ahead of the SEC tournament. LSU doesn't know who they're playing yet. It could be Auburn. It could be Kentucky. How do you approach that, Coach? Do you start doing some advanced scouting on both? I know you've got some up-close and personal intel of having played Auburn already this year.
Yeah, for sure. I'll spend tonight, you know, looking at Kentucky actually a little bit because we did not play them. I did see some of the series. Auburn and Kentucky played each other last weekend. But I'll kind of dive into that so we're not rushing around and have a good plan for what we're going to do from a pitching standpoint and, you know, kind of start scheming against the pitcher we might see. So we'll look at Kentucky a little bit tonight. As far as Auburn, I think Auburn's one of the best teams in the country, hands down. When we played them and they got us 2 out of 3 at home, you know, I looked at that and going like, you know, this never want to lose 2 out of 3, but that's a very good team that is going to have a very good season, and they have. And, you know, in the top 8 in the RPI and top 5 in the SEC. So that'll present a big challenge. And either way, we know we're going to be playing a team that's playing well. Auburn had a great year. And then in the last 2 of the last 3 weekends, Kentucky's won a series against Tennessee and against Auburn. So it'll be a great challenge.
Take me through this time last week, Jay, where you guys were just coming off a sweep at the hands of Ole Miss. And compared to today, where you guys are – coming off a sweep of your own against Vanderbilt and the 4 seed in the SEC. I guess what I'm asking is, was your team pretty angry? Were they pretty bothered by what just happened against Ole Miss?
Well, I think they responded well to the adversity. You know, we hadn't had a whole lot of that to this point in time. I mean, we had a rough weekend at Arkansas. I don't think anybody, you know, saw how quality Ole Miss was based on judging on by their record. I certainly did, having played them in the Super Regional last year, and it's the exact same starting lineup of position players. So I knew it was going to be a challenge, and, you know, a talented team that needs to win late in the year is tough to play against. And, you know, what we talked about last week, honestly, was just like, hey, it's understandable to be a little bit tired. It's been a long season. You know, we're fighting hard. We've had several injuries, all of those types of things. But mentally, it's really important that we stay positive and create energy to kind of keep us going. And our guys did that. And we played really well. We just took a couple things we wanted to do well going into the Vanderbilt series, did them really well, and got some momentum and rolled with it. So great performance by our guys.
Have you ever seen a player in one game have 9 RBI like Braden Jaubert?
Yeah, I can't say that I've seen that. Quite a performance. Really proud of him. He made a significant adjustment to his setup and stance Tuesday prior to the game against Northwestern State. And as a coach, you like seeing players have immediate success because it gets them to buy into what you want them to do. And so Tuesday night, he had 2 home runs against Northwestern State and carried that into the weekend. And Saturday just went bonkers. His best individual game performance I think I've ever seen.
Coach, I'm a nosy guy, so I apologize. But when you're – I'm just curious. I ask out of curiosity a lot of times, trying to learn. When you're breaking down, you mentioned you're going to work on Kentucky. What are some of the things you're looking for? And I don't want you to give away secrets, but what are the things you're looking for? Is there a stat that you want to see from your opponent?
Yeah, I honestly – we have all the analytics stuff. Jamie Tutko, our director of scouting and analytics, does a great job at collecting the data and the information for us. And then I just watch a ton of video, basically, so my eyes tell me, okay, this is how you can pitch this guy or get him out. What pitchers on our staff might be the best matchup to have success for us? And then on the pitching side of it, it's like, okay, what do they do? And if we approach them a certain way, what gives us the best chance of success of putting together some innings where we can score 2 or 3 and make it hard on him and get him out of the game and elevate the pitch count and those sorts of things. So it's kind of like a football approach, I would say. You know, we have all the data and all that stuff, but I do a lot of my stuff just by watching video on the opponent.
What's the latest on Jacob Berry? I know he hit a couple of times this weekend. Do you anticipate that he can maybe play the field in the SEC tournament or in the regional?
Yeah, I do not see him playing in the field anytime soon. He did a great job this weekend. I think he was on base like 11 times for us. I got a 614 on base percentage clip. Had enough hits this weekend to end up being the SEC champion in batting average. So that's a credit to him. And, you know, it was nice to have him back in there. This week we're going to have to kind of manage, you know, do we play him or do we rest him with the hope we can get him back hitting left-handed. So that's still kind of a day-to-day thing of seeing where we're going to get him.
Jay, do you feel like your resume right now warrants the committee handing you guys a regional host site, or is that not concerning right now?
I do, but, I mean, I think, you know, winning here certainly helps. I think we want to win, and we're going for it, and we know kind of what's at stake to be able to play at home. With that being said, you don't have to play at home to go to Omaha, so I really want the guys to be themselves, enjoy competing here. This is, in my opinion, one of the best showcases of college baseball in the country, and I'm excited to be a part of it. Watching the tournament all these years, you know, this is the event outside of the College World Series for me in college baseball. So we want to represent LSU and our program really, really well.
LSU skipper Jay Johnson here on Sports Talk. And Coach, this is your first crack at the SEC tournament. Did you lean on anybody as to maybe an approach, or you feel like you have a good handle
on
that?
Yeah, actually, I called Coach Maneri earlier today. I mean, he had a lot of success in this tournament, and we shot the breeze a little bit. He gave me a couple good things from a mindset-wise he felt like he used. And, you know, for me, it doesn't change a whole lot. I mean, I approach the regular season as – you're in the playoffs, you know. I mean, they don't just give out NCAA tournament bids because of the name across your chest. You have to go earn those, which our team has definitely done that. But we play every game like it's a playoff game. So to have that opportunity, you know, this weekend, it's kind of business as usual. But it's a tournament, and make no mistake about it, we want to be successful here.
You feel like Mikhail Hilliard's the first guy out on Wednesday?
Don't know yet. Good question, and I'm not evading it by any for any reason other than, you know, we do want to see who we're playing and see who we feel like matches up the best against that particular team.
Very fair. Farewell. I mean, fair enough. I get it. So, Coach, again, I'm a bit of a junkie, baseball junkie. So I apologize if I'm holding you along, but I just got a couple more for you. From year the first day on the job to now, what have you learned? What's the thing you've learned about coaching in the SEC?
Yeah, I honestly don't think any of it has been surprising. I will say that coming fresh off of the 30-game schedule, it felt like every weekend was a super regional weekend, and every team was of super regional caliber. And I mean that very sincerely. And I'll give you an example of, you know, one of the teams that is not here is Missouri. And we swept Missouri, but to sweep Missouri, we had to play really, really well that weekend. And all three games were tight, competitive games. You're swept at home by Ole Miss, who, you know, finished in ninth place. And they're really, really good. They're definitely a team I wouldn't want to see in a regional. You know, we obviously won't because they're in the same league. But that just speaks to the depth of the teams, the quality of the coaches, the quality of players. And how I would liken it is it's just a super regional type environment every single weekend.
Finally, Coach, Trey Morgan has really heated up, and I know he hasn't been 100%. You can see the big knee brace on his right knee, but he's really heated up at the plate. What has he meant in your lineup?
Yeah, he's meant a lot, and I think the exciting part about it is, just like I mentioned with Dylan, he's getting better as he goes. Saturday's game I thought was his best game of the year. I don't know how many hits or RBIs or that he ended up with. I knew he had at least a couple RBIs and three hits, but just the approach was good. And when he controls the strike zone, he's a different player because he starts taking that singles approach and it turns into extra base hits just because he's getting pitches he can really drive. And I think the best is yet to come for him, and that's really exciting for him and our team.
One of the things I noticed is sometimes he can detect that ball's out of the zone. He's almost turning out of the box before it really crosses the plate.
Yeah. A really impressive hand-eye for sure.
Coach Jay Johnson, good luck in the SEC tournament, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks, Christian.
All right, you bet. Jay Johnson, LSU baseball coach here on Sports Talk. We'll step away and come back. This is WWL-AMFM.com and the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you
you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, just wrapped up Jay Johnson's interview here on Sports Talk. And Charlie Long at Master Control, something we talked about during the break is, have you ever noticed how college football coaches are really paranoid compared to college baseball coaches? Like, when it comes to information, college baseball coaches are pretty much going to be very transparent, honest, and easy, right? I remember asking Paul Maneri about Kramer Robertson's status after he took one off the mouth in a regional, I think it was, and Paul was like, yeah, it's this. This is the injury. He'll be fine. Opposed, if you ask that to a college football coach, in particular an NFL coach, they'd be like, I'm not talking about that. I'm not going to. That's none of your business. So it's just refreshing to hear how open college baseball coaches are opposed to college football coaches. It's interesting.
Yeah, Coach Johnson's really cool, man. I've talked to him a couple times now. There was also before we brought him on, you had asked me to ask him if you could potentially talk about recruiting, and he gave me a straight-up answer as well. Like, yeah, there's something about college baseball coaches. They're definitely straightforward guys.
Yeah, because I don't think – for one, I think they welcome the attention and support, right?
Like, sure.
They know that, you know, they're not college football, so they want to give you access. They want to give attention to the sport as a whole. But I also think there's not as much disadvantage or advantage to gain by disclosing certain injuries or certain aspects of it. And I was also – Charlie, I was fascinated by the electronic wristband now that was confirmed by Jay Johnson that Vanderbilt was using this weekend to know what pitches are being called.
Yeah, the biggest programs are definitely going to – if they want to, they're going to move to electronic stuff like that, you know, more quickly than others. And Vanderbilt's such a big program. If they wanted to do that type of stuff, then they have the money to do it.
Yeah, I was just surprised by it. And it shows you how far this game has come when you can now call a pitch that your pitcher, catcher, and the rest of your fielders can see. Opposed to the traditional way of having to signal, you know, a shoulder tap to the knee, to the other knee, to the chest, or hand signals, first sign, third sign, second sign in a sequence. I mean, it's come a long way, and I think that's fascinating to watch. And I knew there was something up to it. I asked Glenn about it, Gilbo. He wasn't sure, but I was glad that Jay Johnson kind of confirmed my suspicion that it was an electronic device, which, think about that. Baseball has always resisted any kind of technology or advances in the speed of play. But here we are watching Vanderbilt and the SEC do exactly that.
College baseball is growing up, Christian.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's growing up. It is growing up, and it should be. And I'd like to see Major League Baseball. Why can't Major League Baseball do that? Use a wristband to signal the plays, the calls, the pitches being thrown.
Major League Baseball is more along the lines of what you're talking about with the NFL and college football, as far as coaches and organizations being a lot more paranoid about that type of stuff.
Yeah, because you got the sign stealing stuff with the Astros not too long. And that is a concern that I would have. Is does somebody hack that? Can somebody get that information? I don't know. I just. That's one of the reasons why I love college baseball, is it's never going to be corrupted, I don't think.
It's pure.
It's pure. College football is not. Not anymore. Hasn't been for a long time, but certainly not anymore with NIL. But it is pure. It's pure. And, you know, often I hear the argument, Charlie, about one of the reasons why they love college football is because they're playing for the love of the game. And that may have been the case 20 years ago, but they're now playing for – what they can get paid for on Sundays, and now name, image, and likeness, what they can profit off of. And it's just a sign of the changing times. It's not necessarily about they don't love the game. Certainly they do, but it's they love the game. Plus, there's more opportunity now. there's other opportunity for me to love the game, plus maybe make a little money on the side with name, image, and likeness.
College baseball is just kind of special. It's in its own realm because, you know, a lot of the times you don't get the best of the best young talent. Those guys go straight to the majors. They go straight to the minor league systems and stuff like that. You get a couple of players will come around and be, you know, they're not supposed to be in college. They're supposed to be in some minor league system, but they come and play in college. And then for specifically college fan bases, the biggest college fan bases make this game special for sure, 100%. If you look at Mississippi State, you look at LSU, you look at Arkansas, you look at Texas, like all these massive schools in the South that just adore college baseball. Seeing these special talents come to play for these schools, it's just a really fun sport for sure.
There's so many players that play college baseball that's the end of their career, but they were really good in college, but they had no chance to play at the big league level. And that's okay. Look at Chris Reed a couple years ago, right? Chris Reed was an LSU infielder that got cut by Paul Maneri and then brought back. Well, he still played. He was effective and got some playing time, but wasn't good enough to play at the pro level. And there's a lot more of those, Charlie, than there are that go on, like Dylan Cruz, that play in the big leagues. And there's a lot more that go on and have a minor league career but never make it to the show. It just goes to show you how hard it is to play Major League Baseball.
Yeah, for sure. And that goes kind of back to the passion that you're talking about, the passion for the game that college baseball players really have. Something from Jay Johnson's interview that I thought was interesting was some of the names that he had mentioned when talking about Dylan Cruz. And one of them that came up was Spencer Torkelson. And it brought me back to a guest that we had a week ago. I'm forgetting the name off the top of my head, where he said that he expects Cruz to be the number one overall pick in the 2023 MLB draft. And Torkelson's a guy that Johnson's probably very familiar with because Spencer Torkelson, I believe, went to Arizona State.
Mm-hmm.
So he saw him firsthand. Torkelson got picked first overall by Detroit. So if he's putting him in that category, maybe that guess that we had a couple weeks ago that said Dylan Cruz, number one overall in 2023, maybe onto something.
Yeah. I mean, look at his year this year. 21 home runs.
Yeah.
What's he going to hit next year?
I mean, look at his freshman season. His 30? Freshman season was special. He was, like, his OPS in both of his full collegiate seasons in the SEC as a freshman and a sophomore are both over 1.1 at this point, which is just unbelievable.
But, I mean, like, okay, if he hits 21 this year, and I know it matters who's hitting behind him, and I think LSU is going to be able to protect him, to use a baseball term, but 25, 30 home runs next year in college baseball? In college baseball, when you play 52 games a year, that means you're averaging over a home run a game.
It's not entirely out of the question. He was at 18 his freshman year. He bumped it up to 21 this year. You might even see another jump for his junior year. The ceiling is just the limit for this kid.
No, I expect that you will. I hope LSU fans understand and watch and enjoy what they have at LSU. You got a big leaguer playing college baseball. He'll be in the big leagues 2 years outside of being drafted from LSU. He'll be in the big leagues perhaps earlier than that, first year. He'll get drafted in, what, June? And maybe be in the big leagues by September of the Major League Baseball season. That's how good Dylan Cruz is. And don't lose sight. If you haven't seen him yet play live, go watch him. This is a player that is once in a lifetime at LSU. And LSU has a rich, deep tradition of college baseball and pro players, but I can make the argument that he might be the best that's ever played at LSU. I really could. Alex Bregman, I get it, but I think Dylan Cruz is better all the way around than Alex Bregman, Aaron Nola, Alex Bell. I could go on and on. Dylan Cruz is perhaps the best player to ever put on a purple and gold uniform. All right, we'll step away and come back and wrap up the show here next on Sports Talk on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Like your resume right now warrants the committee handing you guys a regional host site, or is that not concerning right now?
I do, but I mean, I think, you know, winning here certainly helps. I think we want to win, and we're going for it, and we know kind of what's at stake to be able to play at home. With that being said, you don't have to play at home to go to Omaha, so I really want the guys to be themselves. Enjoy competing here. This is, in my opinion, one of the best showcases of college baseball in the country, and I'm excited to be a part of it. Watching the tournament all these years, you know, this is the event outside of the College World Series for me in college baseball. So we want to represent LSU and our program really, really well.
LSU skipper Jay Johnson here on Sports Talk, and Coach, this is your first crack at the SEC tournament. Did you lean on anybody as to maybe an approach, or you feel like you have a good handle
on
that?
No, yeah, I actually called Coach Maneri earlier today. I mean, he had a lot of success in this tournament, and we shot the breeze a little bit. He gave me a couple good things from a mindset wise he felt like he used. And, you know, for me, it doesn't change a whole lot. I mean, I approach the regular season as you're in the playoffs, you know. I mean, they don't just give out NCAA tournament bids because of the name across your chest. You have to go earn those, which our team has definitely done that. But we play every game like it's a playoff game. So to have that opportunity, you know, this weekend, it's kind of business as usual. But it's a tournament, and make no mistake about it, we want to be successful here.
You feel like Mikhail Hilliard's the first guy out on Wednesday?
Don't know yet. Good question, and I'm not evading it by any – for any reason other than, you know, we do want to see who we're playing and see who we feel like matches up the best against that particular team.
That was my interview moments ago with Jay Johnson, LSU baseball coach and skipper, ahead of the SEC tournament. LSU 17-13 in the conference as they swept Vanderbilt over the weekend, now the 4 seed in the SEC tournament. And you heard a very candid Jay Johnson, even right down to the last question I asked him about Mikhail Hilliard being the first one on the bump Wednesday night when they take on either Auburn or Kentucky. The Tigers swept Vanderbilt over the weekend and punched their ticket as the 4 seed. And I like this guy. I like him as the future coach. I think he's going to do some really, really good things for that program. And in his first year, you know, he's got 4 more wins than LSU had last year. 17-13 in the conference opposed to 13-17 in the SEC. And you remember now, Paul Maneri's final season, they went out to Oregon, won the Oregon Regional, lost to Tennessee in the Super Regional. But, man, this LSU baseball team, I think, is vastly different offensively in particular. Charlie Long on our Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk at text lines. What's up?
Yeah, we got a couple texts just from earlier about LSU baseball, and they're kind of similar to what we've received for, you know, the past few weeks. LSU baseball played like Dr. Jekyll and tore up the Vandy boys. Now can they do the same thing in the SEC tournament and not become Mr. Hyde?
I think the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde reference comparison is a little off. At times they can be that way, but, man, over the last back half of the season, what did they win? 6 out of the last 8 8 SEC series? That's pretty good.
They were on a roll before they got swept by Ole Miss.
Yeah, they had won 5 out of the last 6 SEC games. So they've won 6 out of the last 8 series? Come on. That's pretty good. That's better than we maybe might think of. What else you got?
We got another text that says it's hard to understand how they can go from the Ole Miss series to the Vanderbilt series in back-to-back weekends.
It's not hard when you consider the SEC in general. I think the SEC, by and large, look in the East. Vanderbilt's in the East. We just talked about it. Only one team finished above 500 in the SEC East. That's Tennessee. I think it's one of those years where you have a down year. Look at Mississippi State, Charlie. They won the national title and didn't even make it into the SEC tournament.
Right.
So it's about turnover. You know, teams are built differently year in and year out. They're upper class heavy. This is also a byproduct, I think, of having the COVID year as an extra year of eligibility. Mississippi State benefited from that last year. Nothing out of the ordinary here. Nothing. I think Tennessee has out-recruited everybody along with Arkansas for the last 5 years, and they're seeing the fruits of their labor. You know, I think Tennessee and Arkansas are the best teams in the conference. And LSU went through a coaching change, Paul Mainieri to Jay Johnson. And let's face it, when you're Paul Mainieri and you may not be totally into it, you're not going to recruit as well. Let's be honest. Paul Mainieri admitted as to being in so much pain. So maybe the last year or two, he wasn't into it as much as he normally would be. And the recruiting suffered a little bit. The program got a little stagnant. But now it's been revitalized.
To your point about the East and the West, the majority of the teams in the first round single elimination part of this bracket are from the East, and 3 of the 4 teams that got the first round bye are from the West.
Yeah, exactly. So wouldn't that speak to being top heavy in the West, right?
Yeah, definitely. As far as the conference goes, I mean, as I said, 5 of the 8 teams in this single elimination round are from the East. And then if you look at the teams that had the first round bye into Wednesday, Arkansas, Texas A&M, and LSU are all from the West. You know, Tennessee, fantastic year that they had, but they are on top of the weaker division.
You know what I think is also a product of is it's the SEC, and it's gotten really good as a baseball conference. So it's much harder to rank 1 through 2, 3, easy. But outside of that, you don't know. I mean, Auburn had a season that nobody anticipated. Texas A&M, they were better than people anticipated. LSU, they finished 3rd in the West. They were predicted to finish 4th in the SEC West. So I think it's a lot to do with the idea that you're going to project a team or a player. And I've always said pay very little attention to preseason rankings, because don't you feel like, Charlie, that's much more of a guess than at any point in the season. It's a projection as much as it is anything.
Especially in college baseball. Like,
yeah,
without a doubt, you're on the money there. I mean, college baseball is super hard to predict. If you look at the preseason predictions from D1 Baseball, who are the guys that do this, you know, wall-to-wall, what their preseason projections were to what it is now, I mean, it's hard to be accurate with college baseball just because so much can happen in a season.
You don't know who's going to emerge out of the bullpen. You don't know who's going to emerge in the lineup. Maybe there's a freshman that you think is good, but he's better than he is. There's a Braden Joubert. Okay. There's a great instance. Cade Beloso was going to hit before him. In the opening game of the season, Cade got injured. And there comes Braden Joubert. Like, he wasn't projected to be in the starting lineup. And here he is having a monster week and a monster year as a transfer. in college baseball. So nobody can anticipate that. I think rankings and preseason, in particular in baseball, because you don't know which guy is going to emerge as a hitter, a pitcher that you didn't anticipate. And somebody's going to disappoint you as to you can count on them, like Devin Fontenot. You thought maybe he would have a bigger role. He hasn't, but that's not his fault. So there's a number of things that go into evaluations and projections. Charlie, Steve, Diane, thank you so much for your help. I'm Christian Garrick. Simplify, I'm out.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.